Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 12, Further Aspects of Transcendental Service, Hearing the Revealed Scriptures. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, any book which gives enlightenment in the matter of advancing in devotional service is considered to be revealed scripture. Srila Madhva Acharya has also defined revealed scriptures as referring to books such as Ramayana, Mahabharata, the Puranas, Upanishads, and the Vedanta, as well as any other literature written in pursuance of such revealed scriptures. In the Skanda Purana, there is this statement: a person who is constantly engaged in reading literature enunciating the cultivation of Vaishnava devotional service is always glorious in human society, and certainly Lord Krishna becomes pleased with such a person. A person who very carefully keeps such literature at home and offers respectful obeisances to it becomes free from all sinful reactions and ultimately becomes worshipable by the demigods. It was also once said to Narada Muni, "My dear Narada, a person who writes Vaishnava literature and keeps such literature at home does have Lord Narayan always residing in one's house." In Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 13th chapter, verse 15, it is stated, "Sarva Vedanta Saranghi Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tad Rasamrita Triptasya Nanyatra Syad Ratik Bachit." Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. Any person who has become attached in some way or other to the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam cannot have any taste for reading any other literature. In other words, a person who has relished the transcendental bliss of Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be satisfied with mundane writings. Residing in Mathura. In the Varaha Purana, there is a statement praising the residential quarters of Mathura. Lord Varaha himself tells the men of this earth, "Any person who becomes attracted to places other than Mathura will certainly be captivated by my illusory energy." And in the Brahmanda Purana, it is said that all the results of traveling on all the pilgrimages within the three worlds can be achieved simply by touching the holy land of Mathura. In many shastras, it is said that simply by hearing, remembering, glorifying, desiring, seeing, or touching the land of Mathura, one can achieve all desires. Rendering service to devotees. In the Padma Purana, there is a nice statement praising the service of the Vaishnavas or devotees. In that scripture, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, "Aradhana nang sarvesham, Vishnor aradhanang parang, tasmat parataram devi, tadiyanang samarchanam." O my dear Parvati, there are different methods of worship, and out of all such methods, the worship of the Supreme Person is considered to be the highest. But even higher than the worship of the Lord is the worship of the Lord's devotees. A similar statement is in the third canto, 7th chapter, verse 19 of Srimad Bhagavatam, "Yat sevaya bhagavata kuta stasya madhu dvisha rati raso bhave tibra padayor vyasanardana." Let me become a sincere servant of the devotees, because by serving the devotees, one can achieve unalloyed devotional service unto the lotus feet of the Lord. The service of devotees diminishes all miserable material conditions and develops within one a deep devotional love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Skanda Purana, there is a similar statement. Persons whose bodies are marked with tilak, symbolizing the conchal, wheel, club, and lotus, and who keep the leaves of tulsi on their heads, and whose bodies are always decorated with gopi chandan, such persons, even seen once, can help that seer be relieved from all sinful activities. A similar statement is found in the first canto, 19th chapter, verse 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeshan sansmaranat pungsam sadya shudyanti vai griha king punar darshana sparsha pada sauchasanadabihi. There is no doubt about one's becoming freed from all reactions to sinful activities after visiting a devotee or touching his lotus feet or giving a devotee a sitting place. For even by remembering the activities of such a Vaishnava, one becomes purified along with one's whole family. And what then can be said of rendering direct service to a devotee? In the Adi Purana, there is the following statement by Lord Krishna himself addressed to Arjuna. Ye me bhakta jana partha, na me bhaktas tate jana, mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamam mata. O my dear Partha, one who claims to be my devotee is not so. For only a person who claims to be the devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. No one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. One must approach Krishna through his pure devotees. Therefore, in the system of Vaishnava activities, the first duty is to accept a devotee as spiritual master and then to render service unto the devotee guru. Srila Rupa Goswami affirms that all the quotations given in this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu from different scriptures are accepted by the great acharyas and devotees of the Lord. Serving the Lord according to one's position. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement that one should perform the ceremonies for the Lord according to one's financial position. And everyone should observe the different ceremonies and celebrations of the Lord by all means. Performing devotional service in Kartika. One of the most important of these ceremonial functions is called Urjavrata. Urjavrata is observed in the month of Kartik, October, November. Especially in Vrindavan, there is a specific program for temple worship of the Lord in his Damodara form. Damodara refers to Krishna's being bound with a rope by his mother Yashoda. It is said that just as Lord Damodar is very dear to his devotees, so too the month known as Damodara or Kartik is also very dear to the devotees. The execution of devotional service during Urjavrata in the month of Kartik is especially recommended to be performed at Mathura. This system is still followed by many devotees. They go to Mathura or Vrindavan and stay there during the month of Kartik, specifically to perform devotional services during this month. In the Padma Purana, it is said, the Lord may offer liberation or material happiness to a devotee, but after some devotional service has been executed, particularly in Mathura during the month of Kartik, the devotees want only to attain pure devotional service unto the Lord. The purport is that the Lord does not award devotional service to ordinary persons who are not serious about it, but even such unserious persons who execute devotional service according to the regulative principles during the month of Kartika and within the jurisdiction of Mathura in India, they are very easily awarded the Lord's personal service. observing festivals, celebrating the Lord's activities. In the Bhavishya Purana, there is a statement about observing different ceremonies, celebrating the Lord's appearance, and other transcendental activities. O my Lord Janardhan, please let us know the date when your mother Devaki gave birth to you. And if you kindly inform us about this, then we shall observe a great celebration on this date. O killer of Keshi, we are souls 100% surrendered unto your lotus feet, and we wish only to please you with our ceremonies. So this statement of the Bhavishya Purana gives evidence that by observing different functions in relationship with the Lord, one is sure to become pleasing to the Lord, serving the deity with great devotion. It is said in the Adi Purana, a person who is constantly engaged in chanting the holy name and who feels transcendental pleasure being engaged in devotional service, such a person is certainly awarded the facilities of devotional service and is never given just mukti or liberation. Mukti means liberation from material contamination. When liberated, one does not have to take birth again in the material world. The impersonalists desire to merge into the spiritual existence, to end their own individual existence. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, mukti is only the beginning of one's becoming situated in one's normal condition. For the normal condition of every living entity is to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. And so, from the statement of the Adi Purana, it appears that a devotee is satisfied simply with being engaged in devotional service. He or she does not aspire for any liberation from material conditional life. In other words, anyone who is engaged in devotional service is not in the material condition of life, although he or she may appear to be so. Recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam among devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam is the desire tree of Vedic wisdom. Veda itself means the aggregate of knowledge, and whatever knowledge is required for human society is perfectly presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. There are different branches of knowledge in the Vedic writings, including sociology, politics, medicine, and even military art. All these and other branches of knowledge are perfectly described in the Vedas. So as far as spiritual knowledge is concerned, that is also perfectly described therein. And Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the ripened fruit of this desire-fulfilling tree known as the Vedas. A tree is honored by the production of its fruit. For example, a mango tree is considered very valuable because it produces the king of all fruits, the mango. And when the mango fruit becomes ripened, it is the greatest gift of that tree. And so, Srimad Bhagavatam is similarly held to be the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree. And as ripened fruit becomes more relishable when first touched by the beak of a parrot, Shuka, Srimad Bhagavatam has become more relishable by being delivered through the transcendental mouth of Shukadeva Goswami. Srimad Bhagavatam should be received in disciplic succession without any breakage. When a ripened fruit comes from the upper part of the tree onto the ground, by the process of being handed down from a higher branch to a lower branch by persons in the tree, the fruit does not break. And so, Srimad Bhagavatam, when received in the parampara system or disciplic succession, will likewise remain unbroken. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that the disciplic succession or parampara is the way of receiving transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge must come down through the disciplic succession, through authorized persons who know the real purpose of the Shastra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended that one learn Srimad Bhagavatam from the mouth of a self-realized person called Bhagavatam. Bhagavat means in relationship with the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. So the devotee is sometimes also called Bhagavatam, and the book which is in relationship with devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also called Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended that in order to relish the real taste of Srimad Bhagavatam, one should take instruction from the person Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is relishable even by a liberated person. Shukadeva Goswami admitted that although he was liberated from within the very womb of his mother, it was only after relishing Srimad Bhagavatam that he became a great devotee. And thus, one who is desirous of advancing in Krishna consciousness should relish the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam through the discussions of authorized devotees. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 1st Chapter, Verse 9, Shukadeva Goswami admits, Parinishtitopi Nargunya, Uttamashloka Lilaya, Grihita Cheta Rajarshe, Akyanam Yad Ahitavan. Although Shukadeva Goswami was very much attracted by the impersonal Brahman, when he heard the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the mouth of his father, Vyasadeva, Shukadeva became more attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam. So the idea is that Vyasadeva was also a self-realized soul, and his mature contribution of transcendental knowledge was delivered directly to Shukadeva Goswami in the manner indicated. Associating with advanced devotees. The importance of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam in the society of pure devotees was explained by Shaunaka Muni during the meeting at Naimisharanya in the presence of Suta Goswami. Tulayama Lavenapi Nasvargam Na Punar Bhavam Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashisha. Suta Goswami confirmed that if someone is fortunate enough to associate with a pure devotee of the Lord, even for a moment, that particular moment is so valuable that even those pious activities which can promote one to the heavenly planets or even give liberation from material miseries cannot compare to the association of a pure devotee. In other words, those who are attached to Srimad Bhagavatam do not care for any kind of benefit derived from elevation to the higher planetary systems or for the liberation which is conceived of by the impersonalist. As such, the association of pure devotees is so transcendentally valuable that no kind of material happiness can compare to it. In the Hari Bhakti Sudhodaya, there is a conversation between Prahlad Maharaj and his father, Hiranyakashipu, in which Hiranyakashipu addresses Prahlad in this way, "My dear son, association is very important. It acts just like a crystal stone, which will reflect anything which is put before it. Similarly, if we associate with the flower-like devotees of the Lord, and if our hearts are crystal clear, then certainly that same action will be there." Another example given in this connection is that if a man is potent, and if a woman is not diseased, then by their conjugation there will be conception. And in the same way, if the recipient of spiritual knowledge and the deliverer of spiritual knowledge are sincere and bona fide, then there will be good results. Chanting the holy name of the Lord. The importance of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is very strongly stressed in the second canto, first chapter, verse 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam in the following way. Therein, Shukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Parikshit, Etanya Vidyamananam Ichchatam Akuto Bhayam Yoginam Nripa Nirnitam Harernamanukirtanam. My dear King, if one is spontaneously attached to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is to be understood that he or she has attained the highest perfectional stage of life. It is specifically mentioned that the karmis who are aspiring after the fruitive results of their activities, these salvationists who are aspiring to become one with the Supreme Person, and the yogis who are aspiring after mystic perfections, all of them can achieve the results of all perfectional stages simply by chanting the Maha Mantra. Shukadeva uses the word Nirnitam, which means it has already been decided. Shukadeva was a liberated soul, and therefore he could not accept anything which was not conclusive. So Shukadeva Goswami especially stresses that it has already been concluded that one who has come to the stage of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra with determination and steadiness must be considered to have already passed the trials of fruitive activities, mental speculation, and mystic yoga. The same thing is confirmed in the Adi Purana by Krishna himself. While addressing Arjuna, Krishna says, "Anyone who is engaged in chanting my transcendental name must be considered to be always associating with me. And I may tell you frankly that for such a devotee, I become easily purchased." In the Padma Purana also, it is stated, "The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is present only on the lips of a person who has for many births worshipped Vasudeva." It is further said in the Padma Purana, "Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukto Abhinitvan Nama Namino." There is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord Himself. As such, the holy name is as perfect as the Lord Himself in fullness, purity, and eternity. The holy name is not a material sound vibration, nor has the holy name any material contamination. The holy name cannot, therefore, be chanted offenselessly by one who has failed to purify the senses. In other words, materialistic senses cannot properly chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But by adopting this chanting process, one is given a chance to actually purify oneself so that he or she may very soon chant offenselessly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that everyone chant the Hare Krishna mantra just to cleanse the dust from the heart. If the dust of the heart is cleansed away, then one can actually understand the importance of the holy name. For persons who are not inclined to clean the dust from their hearts and who want to keep things as they are, then it is not possible to derive the transcendental result of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. One should therefore be encouraged to develop his or her service attitude towards the Lord, because this will help one to chant without any offense. And so, under the guidance of a spiritual master, the disciple is trained to render service and at the same time chant the Hare Krishna mantra. For as soon as one develops his or her spontaneous service attitude, one can immediately understand the transcendental nature of the holy names of the Maha Mantra. Living in Mathura. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement about the importance of living at holy places like Mathura or Dwaraka. There it is stated, to travel to different places of pilgrimage means to attain emancipation from material bondage. This emancipation, however, is not the highest perfectional stage, for after attaining this liberated stage, one has to become engaged in devotional service to the Lord. After attainment of the Brahma-Bhuta stage, one can further advance to engagement in devotional service. So this attainment of transcendental loving devotional service to the Lord is the goal of life, and it can be achieved very easily for one who lives in Mathura Mandala even for a few seconds. And it is further said, who is that person who will not agree to worship the land of Mathura? Mathura can deliver all the desires and ambitions of the fruitive workers and of the salvationists who desire to become one with the Supreme Brahman. Certainly Mathura will deliver the desires of the devotees who simply aspire to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. And finally, it is also stated in the Vedic literature, oh, how wonderful it is that simply by residing in Mathura, even for one day, one can achieve a transcendental loving attitude towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, this land of Mathura must be more glorious than even Vaikuntha Dham, the Kingdom of God. Thus ends Chapter 12 of Nectar of Devotion, Further Aspects of Transcendental Service, recorded January 25th, 2021, by Nirantara Das. All glories to the author, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.